We ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. When we come to the Lord, that song said, Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed. Are you willing this morning to let your heart and your life be changed? We live in a time that too many people are coming to the Lord, and they're coming with their preconceived ideas and opinions and notions, and they're not coming with open hearts. But if we want to experience the power of God and His blessings in our life this morning, we need to come with that prayer and that desire, Lord, I want you to change my life. Where too many people and too many churches and religions and movements and ministries are trying to bring God down to their level. But the Lord wants to bring us up to His level. And the only way, and by that I mean in His holiness, in His righteousness, and the only way that can be accomplished, as we already heard this morning, as we humble our hearts and come saying, Lord, I want you to work in my life like you want to. I will just, as I write the title on the board this morning, the title is Our Approach to God. Our Approach to God. As I had been seeking the Lord for what the message that He would have for today, He gave me a message and then gave me a message, and there was still, I was like, Lord, this is something I was still seeking Him. And the Lord gave me another message and said, this is what I want for this morning. So I asked that you would pray that the Lord would, His word would accomplish the purpose, His intended purpose. I'd like to turn over to the book of Luke in the 18th chapter, and we're going to read about some men that approach God and consider the attitude in the spirit in which they approached the Lord. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading with verse 9. Said Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised other. So the context of what Jesus was going to speak, He was talking to an audience of people that were self-righteous. He was speaking to people that were trusting in themselves and they looked down on other people. They despised others. So He said that two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And wants to stop there and consider something. As a movement, the Pharisees were strict adherents. They strictly adhered to the Mosaic law and to the Talmud. And they were very interested in keeping the law to the very specifics of it. And yet in their keeping of the law, they lost something. They lost the purpose behind it. The purpose of the law was to have relationship with God. The purpose of the law was to please Him. And what happened is that the law became a tradition and a way of life, and they lost the purpose of it. And Jesus addressed that in many different places, and so they became self-righteous. They lost their dependency on God. And the question I would ask you is it possible for that to happen in this new dispensation of grace? Is it possible that we can take the teachings of the New Testament and we can strictly adhere to those things and yet lose the essence of what it was all about? I dare say we can. We can follow many of the precepts and teachings of Christ, but if we lose the essence of a love relationship with God, and we lose our dependency on the Lord, and we begin to place our lives more on the thou shalt and thou shalt not, we can lose the relationship. And we can begin then to have a form of godliness, but deny the very power and blessings that come from God. And so the Pharisees went up, the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector, the one that was seen as a traitor to the Jewish people. You're collecting money for the enemy, for the Roman government. And they were despised as a group of people. And yet, they both went up to pray. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to what? To please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that, what? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we approach God this morning, we must believe that he is. It's good that both of these men came to the temple to pray. That's a good thing. They were approaching God. Do you know this morning, if you don't have much desire to approach God, you are in trouble spiritually. If you don't have a desire this morning to be in the presence of the Lord, you're in trouble spiritually. Because when the Lord comes back and you don't want to be in his presence, you will not be in his presence for eternity. There's going to have to be a desire now that, Lord, I want to be in the presence of God. Because in eternity, if we're not in the presence of God, we will be in hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. So, Lord, give us that desire to be in the presence of God. But when we come and pray, we must believe that he is. That he is who? That he is God. That he is exalted above us. That he is superior. That he is lifted up. And we are coming into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, that should change our approach to God. Because when you relate to someone who is on your level, and understand, like on a job or something, or even age-wise, you relate to them one way. You relate to an elder differently. There should be a much greater respect. And unfortunately, children are not being taught that very well in our world today. It saddens me at the disrespect that children and young people are showing to their elders. You don't call an elder by their first name. I don't go to someone that's 80 years old and just start calling them by their name. That's disrespectful. They deserve a brother or a mister or something to show that I recognize your age. And our children are not being taught very much to show respect for their elders today. When we come into the presence of God, may the Lord help us. May we have the honor and the respect that, Lord, I recognize who you are. That you are God and you're up here and I'm down here. And I come within humility into the presence of God. So these two men came into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like this other man, as other men are. He said other men, but you know, when two people are sitting there praying, what other men was he talking about? He had a sense of spiritual superiority. I'm thankful I'm not like other men are, and extortioners. Aren't Pharisees, weren't they accused of cheating and stealing, extorting money that wasn't theirs? I'm so thankful I'm not like these other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. God, I fast twice in a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm a pretty good fella. And that was his approach to God. Lord, this is what I've done, and this is who I am. Lord, I've sacrificed, and I've given my life. I give to others. I help the poor out. I'm not an adulterer, and I take care of my financial things, and I pray frequently. I'm a pretty good guy. And that was his approach to God. How's your approach to the Lord this morning? What's our approach individually, and even as a people? What is our approach to God? And then we see another man, this publican. He stood afar off, and he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we have a picture here of two men's approach to God. Very different approaches. One came touting their own goodness. He came lifting himself up and telling all the good things and all of his righteousness. That man did not go home justified. Now, to be justified means to be forgiven. He did not go home accepted by God. His prayer, his life was not accepted. If we come into the presence of the Lord this morning and we approach God with self-righteousness because of who we are, I appreciate the history. I appreciate my parents. I appreciate the lineage, the spiritual heritage that I have this morning. But you know, that does not gain me right of way or special status in the eyes of God. When we come into the presence of the Lord and approach Him, it should be in a very humble way. Lord, I'm coming into the presence of God, and I don't have any goodness of my own to offer that, Lord, would you answer my prayer, because I fast and I pray and I sacrifice and I've done this for you and I've done that for you. Jesus said, that's not the man that went home justified. The one that went home justified and accepted by God was the one that came, and he was a sinner, and he couldn't even lift. He was so ashamed. He was ashamed of his sin, but he wasn't just ashamed. He was repentant of it. See, he didn't go back home a sinner. He went home justified. He went home changed. He went home forgiven. He went home accepted by God because he said, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. I bring my brokenness to you, Lord. That is what God will accept this morning. When we come as we are, without justification of ourselves, without defense of who and what we are, and we come and humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I plead your mercy. If you are trying to get through to God this morning, if there are things that you have been praying for and praying about, and you need the Lord to touch your life, this is the approach that will move God on His throne, is when we humble our heart. Self-righteousness versus contrition. Proud and arrogant versus humility. See, the Jews had a maxim. They had a belief. The Jews had a belief that if you brought a sacrifice to the temple, that you would be justified. But Jesus taught differently. And it's the same way today. Jesus taught us that it is the heart and the spirit that matters more than the sacrifice. And as he told the Pharisees, you shouldn't have left these things undone. You know, it was good that you're doing what you're doing as far as keeping the law, but you left the weightier matters undone. You neglected that. So the sacrifice is important. Don't go away and saying, well, I don't need to fast and pray and give and sacrifice. No, that's not it. But we are not justified by the works that we do. We are justified by God Himself. When we come into the presence of God, we should be seeking because of who God is, not who we are. We should become acknowledging the righteousness of God, not our own goodness. And when we can do that, we will begin to find the true power and anointing and victory in our personal lives. And as the Lord blesses us, there's no place for self-righteousness. There's no place to say, well, I'm pretty spiritual. I've really got a lot of power over the devil now. Do you know when the Lord works in your life, all glory will go right back to him. Lord, thank you so much for giving me victory. Lord, thank you for delivering me from that temptation. It wasn't because I was so strong. It was because I came broken to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm struggling here and I need help. And the Lord gives grace. And when you come through the temptation with victory, you turn around and say, Lord, thank you so much. We glorify God for what he has done. So it is the Spirit in our approach to the Lord. I remember hearing a story many years ago. I thought I heard it from my old pastor. I asked my mom because I couldn't remember all the details, and she thought it came from Sister Catherine Williams. I won't get the words exactly right, but I remember hearing a story about a man and his father, a father and his son. They were estranged. And there had been some difficulties, and the son had left home and gotten in trouble. And the father was blind, he couldn't read. And the son sent a letter home to him. And so the father asked someone, he said, can you read this letter that came for me? And the person took the letter and said something along this, in trouble, send help now. And the father thought, That's just rude. I can't do that. That didn't treat him. Someone else came along and said, could you reread that letter to me, please? Can you reread that letter that my son sent? And he said, in trouble, send help. And he was moved. It was the same words, but it was a different inflection. It was a different spirit. You know, this is a little side note. That's kind of the problem with texts sometimes, isn't it? Anybody ever gotten in trouble over a text or an email because they didn't know the spirit that was behind it and they read it one way and you meant it another way? That's just a little something you can file away. But this is what came. It came in the approach. So what is our approach to God? It's not the words that, what is more important than the words that we speak is the spirit in which we approach the throne. It's the spirit in which we approach God. What was it David's approach? We'll look at a few examples here. When David approached God, he was in a horrible pit. And he was in the miry clay. And he said over in Psalm 40, he said, I waited. How did he wait? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he also put a new song in his mouth. He made a change in his life, and yet his approach to God was, Lord, I'm in a horrible place, but I'm waiting patiently for you. I'm waiting patiently. How are we approaching God this morning? Too many people are approaching God like, I don't know how many have been guilty of this, little boys that go up and ring the neighbor's doorbell and run away. We come up, we ring God's doorbell, and we run away. Lord, here's my problem, here's my need. Well, it didn't get answered, and we're on our way. We need to approach God with the spirit of David. Lord, I'm going to wait until I get the answer from you. I'm going to wait patiently. God will not be too late this morning. Be encouraged. God will not be too late. When God is not answering your prayers like you want to, please do not go source for another avenue of help. Well, God's not helping me, so I guess I'll go here. Or I guess I'll do this. I have an alternative plan. When the Lord called us to take a step out in faith one time, it's like, Lord, I will follow you, but I will say I had a backup plan if it doesn't work out. When we follow the Lord, we need to get rid of our backup plans. And you know, the Lord did that for me. In his graciousness, it was kind of hard, but he knocked my backup plan. He just knocked it out of the way to make me know you are reliant on me. What's our approach this morning? Lord, I need you. I'm going to stay right before you with impatience, and I'm going to wait for you, and I'm going to persist and I'm going to stay here, Lord, because I believe in who you are. What about the prodigal son? Do you remember the attitude of the prodigal son when he came to himself? He had left father's house, and he ended up in the pig pen feeding the pigs and the swine, and he was in a horrible place. He lost his friends. He lost his money. And it said when he came to himself in the 15th chapter of Luke, in the 17th verse, he began to question. He said, how many hired servants do my father have that they have bread enough and despair? Even the servants at my dad's house, they've got so much food and I'm perishing with hunger. And so this is what he said in verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, he had a speech planned out to how he was going to approach his father. And this was a speech that he had already in his mind. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father. Now that was a sign of respect. Hey, old man, I'm coming back home. Make up my room. That's not what he said. He came back acknowledging that you're my father. He came with respect. And he said, Father, he said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. Do you remember when he came, his speech got all messed up because the father was there just to embrace him and welcome him home and give him the best room and kill the fatted calf? And yet, it was his approach that was acceptable. He didn't go saying, well, I've come back home. Aren't you glad I'm home? He came back and he was entreating. It's like, Lord, I have sinned and I've done wrong. You know, this morning, if we do not come with our neediness and our brokenness to the Lord, he can never change us. I believe this morning, one of the reasons people, they come and pray to get saved, and very few doing that anymore. But when people come and they pray and ask the Lord to forgive them, they go right back to their sin. And then they pray to be saved and they go right back to their sin. What is the cause of that? They were not approaching God with a spirit that I am tired of my sin and I'm sorry for what I've done. If we're not, do not have a godly sorrow in a true spirit of repentance, we will not be justified by God. We will not be accepted by God, but he will accept us when we're like the publican and like the prodigal son, when we come in our approaches, I've done wrong. I had someone approach me, I had an issue to deal with many years ago, and it was a minister, and I remember we were dealing with a problem, and they came not open to counsel, not open to advice, they came defensive of their position. Defensive of what they had done. Defensive, and it was wrong. It wasn't right. But they were defensive of it, and there was no place to work. How does that work with us when we come to God, and we're not coming saying, Lord, would you please show me what you want me to do? Lord, would you work in my life whatever you want? Or do we come to God defending and justifying ourselves? Well, I did this and that, and I've got a reason why I did it. Folks, when we approach God, we need to leave our reasons down and not be defensive. Let's come as we are, who we are, and open up our life in the presence of God and allow him to work like he wants to work. But we can have a lot of head knowledge of truth this morning, and we can have a lot of reasons why we're doing what we're doing. Well, I said it that way because of this and this, and I did that because they did this in this circumstance, and that's the reason I behave that way. And we can try to convince ourselves until we believe it. When we come into the presence of God, we need to come just like the prodigal son and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, would you please forgive me? Doesn't matter what everybody else did. Doesn't matter what the church did. Doesn't matter what the saints said. It doesn't matter what he did or what she did. It doesn't matter what my wife did. It doesn't matter what my children did. Lord, I'm answerable to you. And I come and I say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you to guide me. All my defenses are down. I don't have anything to justify myself, but Lord, here I am. You want power with God this morning? This is the approach that gets God's attention. And this is the reason the scripture said and the prophet Isaiah said, to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. I am desperate for the Lord to look my direction this morning. Are you? I want the Lord to look my way, but he will not look. And this goes right along with that song, Brother Roger. But it comes right down to that place that it's going to take a place of humility that, Lord, I need you in my life. I can't make it by myself. It's not enough to be part of a congregation. It's not enough to say, well, I've got a godly heritage and we've got a good family. That will not see us through the temptations and trials of life. I need God in my life. I need his grace to get me through the day. I need his power working in me because my flesh can't do it. But with the power of God, I can live a life of victory. But it's going to take God, and it's going to take me recognizing my neediness, not just when I got saved, but every single day, Lord, I am desperate for your help. So will we be willing to come to the Lord with this approach and say, Lord, I need you today. I'm desperate for you. And when Jesus taught us to pray in the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the 9th verse, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is Jesus teaching us to pray. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That was respect. I'm coming in, lifting up, recognizing that God is set apart. He is holy, and he's pure. And I come into his presence and I'm approaching him as my heavenly Father that loves me and cares for me and wants to work in my life. There's too much disrespect of God today. There's too much disrespect of God. That's why the Old Testament said not to use the name of the Lord God in vain. But people are using the name of the Lord in vain. There's not a lot of respect for God anymore. Lord, help us not to be tainted and influenced by the disrespect of our Heavenly Father. That, Lord, we're coming into your presence, and I acknowledge that you're up here. And then he went on to say, thy kingdom come. And what's the next part say? Thy will be done where? On earth as it is. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So, let's get personal. Has that been our approach to God? Lord, I need you to do this and this and this for me. This is how I need this and this and this. And we start telling the omnipotent Heavenly Father what to do. Or do we come and present ourselves and acknowledge him as our Father and we say, Lord, I want your will to be done. And we wonder why, I say we, people wonder why they don't have more power with God. People wonder why their prayers aren't answered. And people wonder why grace just isn't working for me. What's your approach to God? When we come and say, Lord, I want your will done. Are you willing this morning? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I just wonder, is there anyone here that is willing to say to the Lord and approach him and saying, Lord, here's my life, and you can do whatever you want in my life. If you are not willing to pray that, the reason you're not is what's going to be a hindrance to you spiritually and actually could end up causing you to lose your soul, even if you have all your list of good things and all your righteous deeds, just like the public or the Pharisee. The Lord is looking for people this morning that will say, Lord, I approach you, you know, with my hands up in the air. Now that can be taken both ways. I come in praise and I come in honor, but I also come in surrender. That's my approach to God. That, Lord, I surrender, thy will be done in my life. That we can pray as Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Too many times we're praying after our own lust, our own desires, our own purposes, and we wonder why God isn't working. I believe God wants to work more in our lives this morning. I believe the Lord wants to work more in our homes this morning. I believe He wants to work more in the congregation today. But how are we going to approach God? Lord, we surrender to You, and we want You to work in our life. Are you willing this morning? Are you willing to say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in my life, just like it is in heaven, submissively, not my will, seeking the will of God, not defensive. And as we close, there's so much that could be said on this subject, but as we bring the message to a close this morning, I will just point you to the 9th chapter of Luke, where people came, and it's you can find it in verse 57 to 62, but there were people that came to Jesus. They approached Him, and they said, Lord, we want to follow You. We're going to follow You. And Jesus told them, He said, well, I want to tell you something. You said you want to follow Me, but foxes have holes, and birds have the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head. And so Jesus said, follow Me. And he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. His dad most likely was not yet dead, but he was getting old, and there was a lengthy process that they went through, even if he had died. Let me take care of all the duties, whether he died or not. There was about a year period many times even after someone died. He said, let me first go do this. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. If you want to follow Me, now's the time. Don't put it off. Another one came and said, Lord, I'll follow You, but let me go tell everybody, bid them farewell that are at home first. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is what it comes down to, is that when we come to God, we should be coming with a spirit that, Lord, I am here now with present obedience to do whatever You want. Delayed obedience is what? Is disobedience. Do we believe that? As parents, do we believe that with our children? Say, go, go empty the trash, and you come back an hour later and the trash hasn't been emptied. You say, well, why isn't the trash empty? They say, well, I'm going to do it. That's not good enough. I told you to empty the trash. When we know what the Lord wants of us, to humble our hearts and submit our life to His hands, that, Lord, work in my home, my family, my attitudes, my dispositions, the way I talk, the way I act, the places I've been going, the things I've been doing, the things I've been looking at, the play, all of this, everything that touches my life, not my will. And I'm willing, Lord, I'm ready right now. That's where we will find power with God. And so this is, in conclusion, in the book of Hebrews, why the Scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly, or with assurance. He wasn't saying come with self-righteousness, but come with that assurance to the throne of God, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord is there to work in our life this morning, but we need to consider our approach to God.